for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday afternoon, December the 29th, 2014. Jane Hunt is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Unity in the Church. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach the people. And the gospel is good news. Unity and fussing and fighting is not good news. It's really not. If you have a quarrel in the natural, and I mean, you get your hackles all up, and your husband or your wife or your brother gets his hackles all up, it leaves you with a horrible feeling even after the fuss is over. And used to, my husband could apologize to me all day long, but I wanted to carry that offense around for a long time. You know, I wanted to be mad at him for a while. Anybody ever been there?
Yes.
Make him pay. Make him pay. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have time for fellowship. I don't have time to be for other people. I read my Bible. I stay home. And, you know, I don't have any, well, you're not going to have any conflict if you do all of that. You're not going to have a bit of conflict. We need each other to rub shoulders with, to get the rough edges off of us, and allow God and Holy Spirit to sand us down and make us smooth and make us pliable in His hands. You know, if we really desire something, we're going to do everything in our power to see that we do it. Right? We're going to remove any barriers we can in order to attain that desired thing. It becomes precious to us. Unity among the brethren needs to become precious to the saints. We need to do everything we can to accomplish unity in the body of Christ. Now, as the high priest in the Old Testament, Aaron had the responsibility of once a year he would come into the presence of the Lord for the sins of the nation. And it's only as we have the anointing and we have unity that we can pray for the sins of this nation, that we can see things turned around. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. It takes humbleness sometimes to allow the other person to have their way. And sometimes we want to be stubborn. We want to be rebellious. No, I'm not giving in. I gave in to him last week on this. I'm not giving in. He will never get the chance to do that to me again. Have we ever said that? Yes, we have. But some people thrive on disunity. Some people, as we called them a while ago, the troublemakers. Yes. Have you ever been a troublemaker? You ever get some Have you ever just tried to get something stirred up and get something going? There are people that thrive on that. Well, if I can just get him going and get him mad, then boy, and I'll get the two of them fighting and fussing, you know, and that happens a lot. You know, it's time that we become part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And so many times we're so content to be a part of the problem. There's enough disunity in the body of Christ without you and I putting our 2 cents worth in. And we don't add any more. We've got enough wreckers in the church. We've got enough destroyers in the church. Instead, we need to be repairers. We need to be builders. We need to bring restoration, which only comes about in unity. And just as it says in Psalms 23, He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my thinking. My mind is restored. Now, most of the time when we get involved in the affairs of other people, we don't hear anything but garbage. He said, she said, I did, they did, and so forth and so on. Now, a thief never breaks into a house to steal garbage, does he? No. A thief goes after something more important. In fact, I've never heard of anybody ever stealing a garbage disposal. Have you? No. No. In the life of a Christian, that unity is what the enemy is trying to steal. That's why it's valuable and it's precious, and we should guard. We we should guard the unity that we have. Now, Satan wants to steal your joy. He'll do anything he can to get you out of sorts with your fellow man. Now, we've all been hurt by other people. We have opportunities for strife. We've had opportunities for bitterness and even hatred creep in. Sometimes it even goes to the point of murder. And have you ever heard somebody make this thing? That just makes me so mad I could just kill her. Oh, my. And you know, if you keep making these statements long enough, you know what's going to happen? You're going to carry that out. And then you're going to begin looking for other opportunities for them to offend you. Everything about her just irks me. We've all made statements like that. Who does she think she is coming in here trying to be Miss High and Mighty? We've judged that person. Satan does everything he can to get destroyed. Unity among the brethren. It doesn't matter what gifts and talents you have. If there's strife and contention, that gift is useless in the kingdom. When you continually breed strife and confusion. I know of two churches recently that ran their pastors off. One was in Oklahoma, one was in Arkansas. Does this sound like unity? The reason we have so many churches today is because of disunity. Then we'll move up the road and start another one. There are ruler spirits in the church, and they are alive and well. And sometimes we may have been the one that's been guilty of being a ruler spirit, trying to take over and boss everything in the church. How many churches do you know of where one or two families determine the course that the church takes, the direction that the church goes in, one or two? I know this one church that ran their pastor off. He came in and they had a large congregation of children in Vacation Bible School, and he wanted the people to start a children's church. And he said, you know, we need to start a children's church so we can minister to these children after Vacation Bible School. No, we don't want a children's church. He said, well, the church won't grow if you don't, you know, provide something for these children. And they said, we don't want it to grow. We're content for it to be just like it is. And then that one of the secretary or somebody in the church brought the membership roll to the church. She was going to check off all the voting members to see if they voted. Well, what happened? The pastor says, I will not be a part of this. And he resigned from the church. The next Sunday, the pastor, that left two families in the church. And the next Sunday, the pastor and all of the people said, we want to have church. And they met in the city park. And they had church in the city park for about a month. Then they moved to the community building in the fairgrounds, and they're running 80 to 100 people in that church. Now, I'm not saying that he was right or he was wrong, but I know that the spirit that was in that old church, they didn't want it to grow. They were content like it was. Don't get set on being content. Don't be content with your church to be in this, what it is. There's bigger and better things ahead. And stay enthusiastic and stay after those bigger and better things that are ahead. We praise Him until worship comes. We worship Him until the glory comes. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3 says it like this. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, I need to read that again. I like that. Behold, that means to pay attention here. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, we get a little dab of oil when we anoint sometimes, but can you imagine pouring enough oil on somebody that it would just run down their beard and all the way down to their feet? Now, you'd know you'd been oiled if that had happened to you. You'd been anointed. Yeah, you'd been anointed if that had happened to you. But you stop and you think about it. It says the unity is good. It's like this oil. And that means that there's abundance of it. Yeah. So it is possible that we can achieve unity, isn't it? And he said it's like the precious ointment. It should be a precious jewel that we seek after. People don't value the life of another person. You look at the murders, look at the rapes, you look at the abuse, look at the abortion, you look at the crimes against humans. They don't value, perpetrators don't value the lives of themselves or the possessions of another person. What about the people that are self-destructing? They don't even value their own life. Come in and strap bombs to their body. They don't value this at all. What about people that go into Pakistan and kill hundreds of children in schools? These things are happening on the earth today. These things are not considered, there's no sanctity of life. No sanctity. Old people are constantly doing away with them too. And, you know, if you have a real treasure, you put it in a vault. Now, if I had a $50,000 diamond, which I don't ever want, but I don't know what I'd do. I might sell it and give money to make Hamilton if I had one. That'd be welcome with me. Then I could rule. No, I'll tell you that. No. But you would be surprised. You would be surprised at the churches, because of the big contributors that they have, that they refuse to preach the truth and they allow these people to do what they want to do. And, you know, it's not that way, Lake Hampton. What you see is what you get. And we want to always keep it that way. Even, you know, that people will be comfortable here, that it's not a place that the common man can't come, because Jesus was a very common man. If I had that ring, I would take good care of it, wouldn't I? Oh, my, I would put it in a vault or a safe place or a safe. Now, we have some real treasures walking amongst us. Deborah, you're a treasure. Gerald, you're a treasure. Oh, Jerry, you're a treasure. Dee, you're a treasure. We have treasures walking amongst us. Stop and think about it. Did you know you were a treasure? Isn't that a blessing to know that? Jeanette, you're a treasure. Isn't that wonderful to know that we're treasures? Do we value these treasures as we should? Do we value one another? Are we wanting to walk in disunity with one another? Are we content to find fault with our brothers? Are we content to be at odds with him? You can have a lot of acquaintances in your lifetime, but you're going to have very few people that are true friends. The word says that a friend sticketh closer than a brother. And so, you know, who better is it to learn to trust than one of these treasures that are here? I mean, we're treasures. We're treasures. When you start to think of it, we're precious. We're important. God thought we were so important. He sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to pay the price for our sins, to bring healing, to bring deliverance. God loved us that much. He said, you are my treasure. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I want you to live for me. I want you to produce for me. That's what he's telling us. Now, the definition of precious is too valuable or too important to be wasted or used carelessly. So these relationships, we have to value the relationships that we have. And you may have to work for unity again with someone else. And there's going to be times when it's going to be an opportunity for it to be disunity. But you can correct that matter. You can correct it. If you have to eat crow, you eat crow. It won't hurt you. I tried to eat someone blackbird one time. It wasn't very good. Years ago. It was too, I mean, it just didn't look right. I couldn't eat it. Anyhow, how pleasant. How pleasant. Let's talk about that a minute. I wondered what Aaron thought when that precious oil was being poured out on him. Oh, they're going around me. You know, I wonder if he had that thought, or if there was such an anointing there that he said, oh, just give me more of it, Lord. Just give me more. Let it keep coming. It ran literally from the top of his head down to the bottom of his foot, standing in the glory of God. And I'm sure the glory was there that day when they anointed him that ran down. The anointing breaks every yoke. It will take care of the disunity if you will allow it, but you have to be willing to change. The only thing permanent in your life will be change. and you stop and think about it. From glory to glory, he's changing me, when in his likeness and image, the light of the world, transformed I'll be, shown to the world. So he's changing us. There's an old slogan, united we stand and divided we fall. Why is our nation called the United States? Now that is a strange name. It could have been called Germany or England or France or India or something like that. United States. Mm-hmm. To me that has a prophetic meaning that he wanted his church and his people to be united. That's why he called us the United States. It's the only nation on earth that was founded for religious purposes. And this unity, united, has a root in unity. When the colonies declared their independence from England, it's because they were united. Because they had a united front, they were in unity, they all wanted to do the same thing. Now, we want the mind of Christ. We want what he wants to do for us. God wanted this nation to move forward in unity. In the Pledge of Allegiance, we say, one nation, undivided. Our nation today is very divided. Race against race. Rich against poor. Men against women. These things should not be. Even in the body of Christ, we have that. We have that. And you know, God is colorblind. God doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care. I appreciate you people coming from Fort Smith. I appreciate you so much coming. You have enriched our worship. You've enriched this place by your presence being here. And that's what God wants for the body of Christ. He wants us to be involved in each other's lives. He wants us to sow into each other's lives. He wants us to quit this bickering and fussing and fighting and not getting along. And, I mean, we've got religions fighting against religions. We've got government fighting against people and local governments against state government. Our nation is in a mess. And it is not the United States of America. It's very divided, and it should not be. It should not be. We need to pray like never before for unity to come into the United States. And I believe that God has given us a window, a time that we can pray, a time that we can pray for unity to come into this United States, that we can see things accomplished as God would have them accomplished. We're so far from what God has intended for this nation when it was first established. We're so far from what the Declaration of Independence says. We're so far from what the Constitution says. And we've got judges on the Supreme Court that are ungodly men, and he didn't intend for the nation to rule the church. He intended for the church to rule the nation. He intended for the Christians to be put in office. You get an opportunity, you put a Christian man or a lady in office. Vote them in. Vote them in. People that will stand for unity will want to see things come back into play again. Now, there are a lot of barriers to unity. A lot of things that will cause disunity. And it seems that those that have been saved the longest sometimes put up barriers to the new things God wants to do. What about prophetic worship? I don't know all about it. I've been there. I've enjoyed some of it. And there are some that want to use structure to maintain control of a service. And God couldn't move if lightning struck a building. Now, we're content to greet, have two songs, take an offering, have a sermon, dismiss, and come back the next service to the same old 10-2 and 4. If we continue to do the same thing, I said this earlier, if we continue to do the same thing over and over again, we're going to get the same results over and over again. We need to take our hands off and let God do what he wants to do and let him be God. And to quit putting up roadblocks, quit putting up barriers. We become judgmental, and this leads to disunity. God is plenty big enough to take care of his business. If we're all busy worshiping God and getting ourselves in unity with him and our fellow believer, there will be no barriers among us. Many people have come out of the Catholic Church, and God is moving in that place. If God's big enough to get you out of the Catholic Church, he can get someone else out too. And if some people find it hard to believe that God is working in denominational churches, if we're praying for a move of the Spirit, it shouldn't matter where it happens, just as long as it happens and we get to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. I want to go where God is moving and be a part of it. Sometimes we know too much about other people's business. This is a barrier to unity. We want to focus on the past and things that have happened in the past, and we want to look at that, and we're not going to give them a chance to hurt us again. No. But we look at their failures. We focus on them. But we need to change our focus and put it on the Lord and His ability. Some people have strong support for missions and have absolutely no compassion for their next door neighbor.
Amen.
And there's no sign that charity begins at home? Yes. Time is too short for the church to be divided. We must have a unified force against the onslaught of the enemy that's coming on this land. Now, we are always a people that have opinions. Some people have opinion on everything. Most of you do, and I do too. When we hear this statement, what do you think about so-and-so? Well, it's time that we take our opinions to the altar and offer them a sacrifice. We often hear cases of indictments where the news people will be trying to get a report from somebody. You'll see them walking down the street with their microphone, and this person says, no comment. No comment. Maybe that should be our answer a lot of times, instead of giving our opinion on something. Some of our comments offend other people. Matthew 18:6 says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better than a millstone be hanged around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, millstones were quite heavy, and they would use them to grind the corn and things, and they would work back and forth. And we probably couldn't lift one. If you put some paddock to a person, put them in the ocean, they would be drowned. So sometimes some of our opinions may need to go down into the depths of the sea if we offend other people. As we began to go deeper into the moving of God and moving of the Spirit of God, we will find that we have less time to be judgmental and pass judgment on our fellow believers. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Neither should we condemn others. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love one another. For God so loved that He gave. What's wrong with us? Can we not love that we can give? You can always take it to the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to bring forth truth. Instead, we're busy trying to create a world of people that believe just like we do. Many great ministries have become so successful that they feel that they have no need for the common person and will alienate themselves from them. Have we ever taken the stand that in a conflict, well, I'm right and you're wrong. I know you're right. The only way you're going to be right 100% of the time is if your last name is right. You'll always be right then. So, but we constantly maintain our innocence. We want to defend ourselves, defend our honor, defend our position. There are things that all of us have that irritate other people. Let's just face it. We do. And sometimes we're just waiting for that person to do something else that will irritate us. For example, I had a principal one time that he always used a word out of context, and that word was seen. Instead of saying, I saw something, he said, I seen something. I saw this happen on the playground. He'd say, I seen it happen on the playground. I was there. I seen it. And I would wait for him to make that mistake again, to say that word again. I'm just waiting on him to say, I seen. Many times we're like that with a person that, you know, we're just waiting on them to make that same blunder again, waiting on them to fail again, waiting on them to get angry again. This person may never change, but you know what? Who can change? You and I can change to the point that it doesn't bother us. An untrained singer that sings off key, many times you want to judge him. Oh, I could do so much better than that. Who do they think? They're just making a mess up there. Why don't they sing? You know, let's see. But these things happen. God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to teach me? Lord, help me be a good learner. Help me learn not to be critical of other people. Not to be critical of other people. Look at the political ads You know, we had elections in Arkansas a month ago. These politicians, if I'd had a choice, they'd put Mr. Nobody up there, I'd have voted for him. Because they are so busy tearing each other down instead of working together for unity, instead of promoting their good things and the points that they want to bring forth, they're pointing out the faults of their enemy. So many times we are so busy pointing out the faults of our brother and our sister. And this is not good and should not be. Democrats and Republicans, oh man, they stand more for the party than they do for the American people. It wouldn't have mattered who ran, or if Jesus had run on Republican ticket, my mother would not have voted for him because he was not a Democrat. And she voted that way all of her entire life. Now, in the church, do we have Democrats and Republicans? Do we? Yeah. Wouldn't change for anything in the world. Wouldn't change your ideas, wouldn't change your stand. But you know what? God wants to change all of us. From glory to glory, He's changing me. You know, some people are again anything someone else is for. You know, the old timers talk about being against it. Some people are against it if somebody else is for it. Now, we can expect conflict in this world, but are we of this world? No. We're not of this world. So, and I used to tell my boys, we raised four boys, and I used to tell them all the time, I wouldn't let them fight a fuss. Now, they may have behind my back.
Right.
They tell me that they did, but I didn't see them. But I always told them that animals have to fight to settle their differences. But men and women and humans should not have to fight to settle their differences. We should be able to talk it out sensibly. And we never allowed them to fight. We never allowed them to fuss. And they're all four just as close as they can be even today. But the more love that we can exhibit to our fellow believers, the more unity we're going to have. Now, the human body is made up of eyes and hands and feet. It's heard and says it has many members. Now, what would happen if one foot wanted to walk backwards and the other foot wanted to walk forward? Let's say by church squabble, doesn't it? But what happened if one hand wanted to be washed and the other one did not? The body works together in unity, the human body. What if one eye wanted to look off over here and the other eye was looking over here? You're like this. It doesn't do that. They focus on the same thing. We need to focus on lifting up Jesus Christ. Lift Him up for the world to see. There would be no unity in the body. The enemy is so subtle, isn't he? He works through hints, through suggestions, insinuations, looks. Did you see the way she looked at me? Yeah. Well, I just didn't like the way she said that. She meant more than what she said. The enemy is a master at magnifying faults and making them obvious. He can take a small thing and magnify it so many times and bring division in the body of Christ. How do we achieve unity? John 12:32 says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. We have to quit focusing and on the faults and the failures of others and focus on the Lord. Change your focus. We have to concentrate fully on Him. If we're concentrating on Him, we won't even see these things that are happening with our brother and our sister. Remember, God's glory comes from praise, which leads to worship and then on into glory. And as we reach higher levels of worship, then our differences will diminish because our focus is on Him. He will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on Him. You know, when we get in this higher level of worship, it's like being in a cocoon, wrapped in with a cocoon in the Holy Spirit. You know, you ever felt the Holy Spirit just seemed like He was just holding you and just wrapping you all up, and you felt His love and felt His warmth? That's what it's like when we get in higher levels of worship. You know, we are focusing on Him. Nothing else matters. Our prayer should be for His glory to be more, become more and more, and to stay longer. It's time that we quit demanding perfection from our brothers and our sisters. Are you perfect?
No.
Absolutely not. We have to give each other room to make mistakes. How do we learn? What do they tell us? You learn from your mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. So we have to give them room to make mistakes without coming under condemnation from us. Doctrinal issues are something that have divided people for many, many years. We should never allow this. You're not going to ever find anybody that believes exactly like you do on every point. You can argue about doctrine all you want to, but it only widens the division. Change the subject. Somebody wants to argue with it, offer them a cup of coffee, a glass of tea. Change the subject. Don't talk about it. Divert the, and you can always talk about somebody's children or their grandchildren, because they're always ready to talk about them. We can always, but nobody has the corner on the market of God's glory. It would be poured out on seekers who seek Him with a whole heart that are looking for truth. And we have a tendency to close our hearts to people who haven't walked as much truth as we have. Maybe they haven't been saved as long as we have. Maybe they don't know as much scripture as we do. When we fill our spirits with doctrine, there isn't much room for Holy Spirit to work. Stop and think about that one. You fill your spirit with doctrine, then there's not much room for Holy Spirit to work. Unity is a work of the Spirit. It has absolutely nothing to do with your doctrine or your perception of Scripture, but it's thus saith the Lord. God is not interested in denominations. He's not interested in doctrines of men, but He's called us to sit together in heavenly places with Him. The more we study, the more we become enlightened, certain things that will take place, but this does not mean that we should not be able to fellowship with other people. When we allow doctrinal differences to agitate us and stir us up, then this is wrong. And I think it's getting pretty close to time. I didn't get finished with all of this, but I'm going to go ahead and there's just a little bit here that I want to cover. What the glory does for us, it brings an ease. It's easy to pray for the sick in the midst of the glory when the glory is falling. You see healings take place. And it's easy to believe God for the impossible. The struggle is gone. The striving is gone. And the effort to try to make something happen is gone. The glory brings revelation, the revelation of who He is, who He really is. Some people have seen His hands. Some people have seen His feet. Some people have felt the wind as He walked by. And the more we praise Him and the more we worship Him, the more glory can come into us. John on the Isle of Patmos was in His glory realm because God was showing him things to come. Our vision is so limited because we're afraid people are going to think we're kooky. You know, that we're kind of goofy if we begin to tell about the things that the Lord shares with us in the Spirit. We need to allow Holy Spirit to enlarge our vision so that we'll be able to see more into the Spirit realm. The glory brings a knowing. We know with the Spirit. Just as we have physical senses, I believe we have five spiritual senses the same way. Some people have smelled the aroma of the Lord. You may have been those. Some have caught a glimpse of His glory. Some have heard Him speak. We've been made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. And He wants us to be aroused that our spirit will receive more of His glory. There's a whole new world out there that you and I haven't discovered yet in the realm of the Spirit. Christopher Columbus, when he discovered America, it was a new world for him. Totally new world. He wasn't even looking for America. He was going somewhere else. He didn't know where he was headed. But have you ever wondered what would have happened to Israel if Caleb and Joshua, if they had believed their report rather than the 10 spies? What would have happened? It would have saved them a whole lot of wandering in the wilderness, wouldn't it? Many times it will save you a lot of wondering in the wilderness if you'll listen to the voice of God. The devil throws everything out of proportion. And we're able to look at the problem through our spiritual eyes and then it looks like a molehill. Perhaps there's something that I've said this afternoon that has brought maybe some memories or brought up something in you that you feel like that you might need to have prayer for. So we're going to do some deliverance. Would you stand with me, please? Stretch yourselves a little bit. You need to. I know it's been a long afternoon. I appreciate your attention. But it is very difficult to cast out demons if unforgiveness is present. When we begin to pray for deliverance, we begin to pray for unforgiveness. So begin to search your hearts. If you have unforgiveness towards another person, there are some people you don't have the opportunity to make it right. If it's a parent that's already deceased or someone, you don't know where they are. But you can offer to God, you can offer Him the forgiveness that you would extend toward this person. But if you know that person, or if that person happens to be there, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let it go down on your wrath, but make it right between you and that person. Just take just a few minutes. When you finish, you may want to sit down. I think it'd be fine. Bitterness in the Strong's Concordance says means to rebel or to resist, to be disobedient, disobey, to provoke. If you stay bitter, you will become rebellious. And if you stay rebellious, you will become bitter. Repeat this prayer with me, and then we're going to do some deliverance. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. I want to live my life for you. I ask you to forgive me. I forgive others right now. I ask for your blood to come and cleanse me from all sin. And I need you to deliver me now. You know what I need. And I give you full authority and the right to cleanse me now. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And now this is a declaration we want to make to the enemy. Satan, I renounce you and your evil works. I renounce you and command you to come out of me in the name of Jesus. All right, I'm going to start calling these things out, and you just allow them to, the Lord won't, well, that's good. Go ahead and get deliverance now. That's fine. All right, I want to first start with the spirit of rejection. Rejection is a root. Poster back on the wall. It's also in the deliverance manual. But rejection, I tell you to leave God's people right now. I tell you to go in Jesus' name. All rejection, come out of God's people right now. Pride, spirit of pride, I tell you to come out of God's people right now. Spirit of pride, come out. Set the people free. All pride that will keep them from getting things right and walking in unity. Go, go, go. All pride, come out there in the name of Jesus. Come out there. Come out there in the name of Jesus. Pride, go, go. All bitterness, come out of there and go in the name of Jesus. All bitterness, leave, leave, leave. Unforgiveness, go, go, go. All unforgiveness, go, go, go. All tormenting spirits, go, go, go. Torment, leave God's people right now. All spirits of torment. All anger, go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Anger, come on out. Come on out, anger. All anger, come on out in the name of Jesus. Come out there in the name of Jesus. Anger, all hate. All hatred, come out of there. Murder, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Death, violence, come out of there. All of you, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out, all violence, come on. All spirits of violence, come out of there in the name of Jesus. All rage, come out in Jesus' name. All retaliation, I'm going to get even. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Retaliation, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All retaliation, the blood of Jesus drives you out. All retaliation, come out of there in the name of Jesus. All unforgiveness, all unfairness, that wasn't fair, that wasn't fair. Poor little me, come out there in the name of Jesus, come out there. All unfairness, come out there, all revenge. I'm going to get even, I'm going to get even. You better watch your back, I'm going to get it. Come out there in the name of Jesus, come out there. We tell you to leave in the name of Jesus. We tell you to come out there in the name of Jesus. All bitterness, go, 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 go. Everything connected with bitterness, go and leave God's people right now in the name of Jesus. We tell you, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you to leave God's people. All spirits of infirmity, which comes from bitterness. Bitterness leads to an infirm spirit. All tension, go in the name of Jesus. All migraines, go in Jesus' name. All stress, go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus, go in the name of Jesus. All critical spirits, leave in the name of Jesus. Headaches, be gone. Be gone. Headaches, go in Jesus' name. Headaches, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All skin disorders, leave God's people. Itch, nervousness, ticks, eczema, boils, fever blisters, all go in the name of Jesus. All of these go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. These are all results of bitterness. These are all results of holding things in and not getting rid of them. Unforgiveness. These are all resources and things that can happen to you. We speak to all the intestinal, all stomach disorders, colitis, diverticulitis, irritable bowel syndrome. We speak to those and tell them to go. All ulcers go. Cancer, go, go, go in Jesus' name. All bladder problems go. Female disorders all go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. We speak to the stubborn spirits and we tell them to go in Jesus' name. We tell them to leave. Stubbornness leaves God's people. Bitterness leads to infirmity. Infirmity leads to stubbornness, and it's just a round thing, just going round and round and round and round. We tell those things to go. The buck stops here today. The buck stops here. God's people will be free. All lying spirits, we tell you to go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come on, go. Come on, come on. Gladly. In the name of Jesus, all lying spirits, go. Go. Lying spirits, go, go, go. In Jesus' name, go in Jesus' name. All gossiping spirits, go in Jesus' name. Gossip, get out of there. Go, go, go. All gossiping spirits, go, go, go. All spirits of envy, all spirits of jealousy, go, go, go. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. All threatening spirits, go. In Jesus' name, all of these go. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Get out of there. Go. Go, go. These are God's people. They don't want these things. Go, go, go. Yes, we break them. We break them. We tell them to go in Jesus' name. We tell them to go in Jesus' name. All nagging spirits go in Jesus' name. All nagging spirits go. All fault-finding spirits go in Jesus' name. All malice go. All strife go. All jealousy go. Come on, come on, come on. Get jealousy in the body of Christ. Come out of there. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. Unforgiveness, get on out of there. Go on, go on, go on. Every root, go, go, go. Every root, go, go, go. In Jesus' name. Every root, leave God's people. Leave God's people. All of these spirits, come out of there. Strong man, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Let God's people go free. Set them free in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits that would oppress you, come out in Jesus' name to keep you from walking where you need to walk. All spirits of rest and development, having to have my own way, being childish about certain matters. We call those out in Jesus' name, arrest and development. We tell you to go in Jesus' name. Go. Come on out there. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on out there. Quit acting like a child. Quit acting like a child. Come on, grow up. Grow up in the body of Christ. Be fitly joined to Him. And each part supplying the part it's spoken to. We tell you to come out of there, arrest and development. Come, come on, come on, come on. Come on, all these 2-year-olds in the Spirit, all these 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, all these full of breaths in the Spirit, we tell you to go. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Come on. Go in Jesus' name. Come on, leave God's people. Set them free in Jesus' name. All arrested development, go, go, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All harassing spirits, we tell you to go. Harassing spirits, go, go, go. All spirits of contention, all spirits of stirring up strife, we tell you to go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits that will stir up strife, we tell you to go in the body of Christ. We tell you to leave. Leave now in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in your people, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the realization, Lord, that you called us to walk into greater unity, Lord, than what we've ever walked before. Lord, we just thank you. We just bind up the enemy. We bind him. We bind him. We bind the enemy from bringing these thoughts in. And we bind these curses that may have come down in these church hierarchies. We bind those curses that this is the way we do it. This is the way we do it. We bind that thing in Jesus' name. We ask for a new work to be released in the earth. We ask for a new work to be released in your people, in this people that are here, a new work to come forth, a work that will bring glory and honor to you, will bring unity into the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are at work in all of our lives, Lord. And Father, that you are remaking us, you're remodeling us, you're making us into your likeness and image, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for the food that we're going to that's been prepared, Lord. We ask that you would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. And Lord, we know that there's more to come, Lord, and we anticipate it. We look forward, Lord, to seeing what you're going to do in the remainder of this camp meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.